This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It has been a rough go for the Yankees so far this season, as they sit just two games over 500, and their run differential is at a minus six on the year. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, of course, the ESPN app. And don't forget about your smart speaker as well. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline, and that is exactly where we are headed right now to welcome in ESPN baseball analyst Jessica Mendoza, who joins us. Jessica, it's Chris Carlin along with Bart Scott. Quite simply, what's going on with the New York Yankees?
You know, I thought after Aaron Boone fired him up with, hey, this is basically like, it matters, and we got to pull our heads out and get back to playing the game that we know how to play. And they go and lose last night to the Angels, and you got to kind of wonder if this is just who the Yankees are. And it's mind-blowing. I get it. You look at the names, you look at the ability, you know, Gerrit Cole and just all the names, the offensive numbers that they could possibly put up. But there's also just like the athleticism, the things that they do lack are real, like being able to run the bases. I mean, that's one of the most mind-blowing stats when I look at all the things that the Yankees have not been able to do. It's taking the extra base. It's getting thrown out of base. Like they don't move well. So they have to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And the fact that they don't have a significant left-handed hitter, I mean, this is the Yankees we're talking about, like the history of great left-handed hitters is just also something that's huge. I think Aaron Hicks being out is a big part of why they've been struggling as well.
Where does the accountability fall? Does it fall on Cashman or does it fall on Boone? Because if they have the disappointing season that it looks like they're headed to, they can't come back and think that, you know, next year they can roll out the same roster and not have major changes and expect a different result.
Yeah, I mean, I think it falls on a lot of people. I do think Brian Cashman it would be more of the lead in that. That's what we just see across the board. That's why general managers now get paid a whole lot more than even managers, because of they are really, you know, making the team. And the amount of money that's spent on this roster, and some of the guys deservedly so, but there's a lot of players that just haven't been able to be consistent. And I look at, it's going to get interesting here at the end of the month when we look at the trade deadline, is what the Yankees are going to do, because there's still a lot of hope and a lot of, you know, prayer, especially out in New York, and a lot of people that follow that team that feel like this is a team that could still do well and finish, you know, at the top and make a run once they get into October. So I can't imagine that they would sell, but what, you know, what are they going to do these next few weeks? And that's really, you know, going to be up to Brian Cashman.
Jessica Mendoza, ESPN baseball analyst, joining us now. All right, so you couldn't imagine that they could, yet they're sitting 7.5 out right now, and to start the second half of the year, they get the Red Sox 8 out of 10 times. Boy, when you look at the overall construct of the team, it doesn't look like it's put together particularly well. Would there be a temptation, do you think, to hit the reset button and maybe trade away somebody like Aaron Judge, where you know you can get an awful lot for him?
Well, that's why I think it's going to get interesting, honestly. I mean, I really believe that, and we were talking about this with the Chicago Cubs heading into the season, remember? Like, they were going to sell some of these huge names. Like, you know, this is a team with so many free agents. You know, what are they going to do? And, you know, I don't think they're going to probably do as much of that. But with the New York Yankees, that's kind of, I feel like, what you have to do unless you can, like, go into the offseason, just continue to buy and buy and buy. But I think being able to get legit prospects, a legit trade, I hate saying that because with Aaron Judge, you know, it's hard to believe that they would even let go of him. But I do think that Brian Cashman is going to do something big here in the next few weeks, and I'm interested to see. And it could be on either end. I mean, they could make a run in the next few weeks and become huge buyers and make a big trade. But I do think Aaron Judge is something that we should all keep our eyes on. And across the board, I mean, I think there's a lot of teams that have surprised, as much as the Yankees have been the surprise in the negative. I mean, I've got the Giants against the Dodgers tonight, and you talk about a team that has surprised everyone in San Francisco out west.
You know, we had, what, Hector Santiago get the first pitcher thrown out. Are we going to see more of this, and are we headed for a work stoppage? Because, you know, baseball has to come up with some type of substance that can be universally accepted. And, you know, I feel like baseball is overcorrected too much. You know, we had the juice baseball last year. Now we have the baseball, you know, that's maybe doing a little bit more. We got the Spider Tack 3000, whatever they want to call it. Are we headed for a work stoppage in the offseason?
I can't imagine, like, honestly, them figuring it out right now. I mean, just the ridiculousness that we're seeing between players, the Players Association and Major League Baseball. But really, you know, I think now with the pitchers and just, I mean, after seeing Max Scherzer stripped down after Joe Girardi, you know, called him out and just the insanity. I do think what they're doing with the pitchers is right. I think it was absolutely needed. I do think the Players Association should have done a better job of preparing their players for the moment and the rule that has been in place to be implemented, because we've seen these numbers and the outcry has been there, even from other pitchers. I mean, Trevor Bauer has been incredibly vocal over the last 2 years, along with so many others. And I feel like with that particular instance, I really believe this is something that should have been more prepared for. Like, these players should have had a better idea that this was coming and not be completely, I mean, just listening to Garrett Richards last night, I don't know if you guys heard, you know, him and his interview and just saying, like, he had to learn a changeup 3 days ago. He's like, I've literally had to rework the way that I now throw because I can't pitch basically without a sticky substance.
Jessica, isn't that the scariest part though, when you're a pitcher and we heard Tyler Glasnow blame injury on it a week and a half ago, because you're going to have guys who are in that situation?
Yes, no, absolutely. It's just, they're so unprepared. I mean, it's like, and that's what blows me away. It's like you're sending your kids off to camp and you try to like give them all the tool. Like these players are like, these pitchers have literally been like, I am not prepared to be able, I've talked to so many of them that have relied on this substance and they knew that at some point this might happen, but there was just no conversation. And that tells me back to your first point in the stoppage, how little communication between what Major League Baseball ended up doing right away in the middle of the season and getting that communication to the players through the Players Association. And so I'm just blown away that this has happened. And there's so many pitchers that are caught off guard.
Jessica Mendoza, ESPN baseball analyst, joining us. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jessica, is Shohei Ohtani the best show in sports right now?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, hands down. Like, I mean, seeing just what he did in the Bronx yesterday, it's like, and I get to the point, because we're talking baseball every day, right? Where it's like, okay, like, can we come up with something else to talk about? Like, you know, you try to find, like, okay, what's the biggest thing that happened this week? And I'm finding, like, some nuggets in college baseball because of the World Series, or, you know, just trying to find anything else, because this guy, we talk about him all the time, but it's because this is remarkable, like, flat out remarkable what we are seeing happening. And we've talked about it from the early get-goes when he first came over, but it's actually playing out before our eyes, and I think a way that no one could have imagined. His 26th home run, I mean, the amount of, like, power that he possesses, the speed, I mean, when he had the other day where he was a single shy of the triple, and or the single shy of the cycle, and he had his triple that he got around the bases so fast. I mean, he's one of the fastest runners in all of the game, and then I haven't even mentioned his pitching, like, it just, you don't see this. And I really believe, you guys, we're going to see in the next 5 to 10 years the influence that he has had now on our culture to allow more pitchers to continue to hit play positions if they are athletes instead of shutting them down.
I mean, it begs to differ, right? Because who's the best show in town? Is it Shohei or is it Jacob DeGrom? You know, I think I'm wondering if is Shohei, does he have the willingness to be the face of baseball? Because he can bring an entire international audience. I understand that we have Tatis, who, you know, is a loquacious personality that really can, like, light up a camera. But, I mean, Shohei can do something and bring in a totally group of people that Tatis can't touch. Does he have the willingness, unlike Mike Trout, to be the face of baseball? Because he's the closest thing to Babe Ruth that we've seen in the modern era.
Yeah, well, I think him putting his name into the home run derby to do it, like, that spoke a ton. I mean, the fact that he isn't shying away. Now, I don't think he wants to be the face at all, but his personality is coming out more this year than it ever has. I mean, he's goofy. He's still, like, you don't get to see him a lot because he's out in Anaheim and a lot of people just don't watch the Angels. But this is a player. I live out here on the West Coast that I mean, he is really, like, putting himself out there, like, letting people understand who he is. Again, playing in the home run, or being able to hit in the home run derby as a pitcher, I think blew everyone away. Now, is he Tatis Jr. and where there's this, like, flash and the, you know, bat flips and then no, like, but I think there is a willingness for him to be like, yeah, like, I want this game to grow. But there's a reason, guys, you got to remember that he chose Anaheim, that he's out there. Like, he did not want to be within a franchise where it was all about him. He definitely just loves the game, and he's not afraid to just freaking kill it and be the face because of how good he is.
Yeah, Cashman was excited to hear that.
Jessica Mendoza, ESPN baseball analyst, joining us. When you watch DeGrom, Jessica, what do you think is the most impressive aspect of what he's doing this year?
Well, as boring as it sounds, but the consistency. mean, everyone else seems to have, like, they take away sticky substance, they throw him different things at pitchers. He doesn't give up an earned run until, like, his last start. And, like, he just goes out there. And when I was a part of the Mets and being around him more on a daily basis, that's what jumped out to me, is he just shows up the same every day. And pitchers are weird. Like, let's be real. Like, they're super cerebral. They get in their heads. I mean, we're seeing it now because of everything that's going on, but they're different ducks, and they can kind of let one thing really mess them up. They're creatures of habit. They've got to have things a certain way. Jacob DeGrom is not that person at all. You know, I mean, he didn't pitch until late in his career. He was really just an athlete. And there's something about him where he just is like, I come out and I throw the ball. And I think it's that consistent mindset that just influences so many people around him. And like I said, when I got a chance to be around him more on a daily basis, I think that's what blew me away. And he wasn't doing even what he was doing now. It was just the fact that he was so easy to talk. You could talk to him on game day, you know, like, things that you can't do with pitchers, you can do with him because he's just a dude, and he's shown it in a huge way, especially the last few years.
Awesome stuff, Jessica. Appreciate the insight, and, you know, it is amazing what they're doing, and there are some really good stories, despite what's actually happening with everything else and the labor and the sticky stuff. There are good things to watch. We appreciate the time. Thanks again.
No, definitely. And you guys should tune in tonight. Dodgers, Giants. It's going to be a good one. Dodgers won last night, but I'm excited for what's happening out west too.
Jessica, say less. We'll be there.
The NL West. The NL West is tremendous. Jessica Mendoza, ESPN, MLB Insider. What's going on out west with the Giants, the Padres, and the Dodgers? You know, you are really looking at three teams making the playoffs, but only two of them are going to be in the wild card game, which means that one really, really, really good team is going to end up going home.
Arms race.
And it truly is.
Arms race.
Look at the rest of how baseball is playing out in the National League. The National League East has been terrible.
Yeah.
It's been not very good. And you watch those three teams out west playing at the level they're at, nobody ever expected the Giants to be playing as well as they are.
And that's why you said it's an arms race, because now you've been pleasantly surprised. Well, they go all in with some of those good prospects that they have to cash in to a player that can help them now to get them over the hump, because getting out of their own division is going to be the tough part.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jessica Mendoza bringing us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Back to the Yankees, and that's where we want to get your calls here in a second at 888-729-3776. And what is the solution? Is it moving on from Aaron Boone? Is it completely revamping the entire organization at year's end and a new voice in Brian Cashman maybe not being the guy that is building this team from the bottom up? And I think what's most bothersome about it is that there are not easy solutions here. You don't just look at it and say, well, if they get a starting pitcher, if they get a left-handed hitting center fielder, if they get this, they get that, they're going to be just fine. And that's where my problem is, Bart, in trying to throw money at the situation. So many Yankee fans are so used to that. And like, remember a couple of the calls that we've taken already, Yankee fans saying things like, just bummed out here. We're really struggling and all that. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is like struggling. Go, go away. Talk to the Minnesota Twins.
We're going to spend $200 million.
Yeah, exactly. Talk to the Texas Rangers.
$200 million doesn't go as far in New York as it does in the rest of the country.
Talk to the Marlins, the teams who are, they know about struggling. And when you see that and you take a full glance at what the organization is, they're not strong in the minor leagues right now. Right. They don't have anybody who's really ready to come up and make an immediate difference.
Hold on. Where's Sweaty Palms at, man?
Where the hell is Sweaty Hands?
See, you knew Sweaty Hands.
I did. Well,
because you felt uncomfortable.
You and I shook his hand and they were sweaty.
This was way before COVID.
You and I did a show together before.
Yeah, it's way before COVID. But I shook his hand. I wanted to take a shower. I was like, man, this dude got the most
moist. I tell you what, somebody else reaches out to shake your hand right now and it's sweaty hand. That's like handing you a bomb in a lot of ways.
You got to put it in the same plastic bag that baseball put the glove in the other day. I'm like, what the hell? Like, what type of protocol is this? You got a hefty bag that you put the damn glove in, and it ain't gonna be cross-contaminated.
Well,
what's going on, man? Everybody's and the refs are touching the glove with their bare hands.
Yeah.
What?
It's contaminated, I told you. SVU, that gets thrown right out of court.
Doom, doom, doom.
Yeah. Look, I think, though, that when you're considering somebody like Florial. Okay, that's one guy you could bring up. They brought him up briefly already, but there's not an expectation that he's going to walk in the door as injured as he's been.
They told us when we shook his sweaty hands that this dude was a prospect. He can run the bases.
And he was.
He was a double machine.
He's just been hurt all the time.
Okay, well, Bucko, come on up. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
There are no true answers for a team that has that much money invested in everything. I mean, think about how, you need to bring somebody in. If you're going to rely on analytics, at least rely on a dork who knows what he's doing. I mean, for Pete's sake, the Rays know what they're doing. Overpay somebody from the Rays.
You ever saw that Red Bulls commercial when the two antelopes are talking, right? Mm-hmm. And he got the lion. He was like, we're not faster than the lion. He's like, I don't have to be faster than the lion. I just have to be faster than you, my friend. So when you're in the geek squad, you don't have to be a smart guy. You just got to be smarter than the people that you're talking to.
Exactly.
And that's what's been going on. They got the wrong analytic people. They need to go steal the people from Tampa.
That's why it's just beyond frustrating to watch them play the way they are. And yet you continue to hear things like this from Aaron Boone.
We got to go do it. We can throw out all the sayings and talk is cheap, Brian. We got to go do it. And as disappointing and as frustrating as we are to not grab this first one, because especially coming off the weekend we had, we got to go play tomorrow and try and dig ourselves out of this.
Look. You could throw out all you want with.
Look,
we
got
to go do it.
This is embarrassing, man. Look at what the
when they have so many base running mistakes as we're seeing on ESPN Plus. When they just don't do fundamental things well, and you really tie that in with the fact that they haven't been a team that has hit in the clutch, you understand why it's problematic. You understand that it's just not a good team.
Can we get a new nickname for Sanchez? Because if old guy, boy, the old dude that was with the Mets was a white buffalo, he need to be something like the
Wilson
Shamu.
Ramos?
Yeah, he need to be Shamu or something, man. Because like
he's hitting now. At least he's hitting.
It's crazy, man, to think that this is where the Yankees are. After, we expect a progression, a steady progression. 100, looking like they missed their window, man. And they're going to have to figure some stuff out, man. They're going to have to figure it out fast. And it's going to be interesting to see if I'm like Major League. We got to win the whole damn thing. I'm coming in there with a sticker poster with,
of Hal Steinbrenner's.
Yeah, yeah. and we pull it.
I don't think they're mad at him. He's signing the checks.
Yeah, we pull the stickers out at the end. It's a pot of gold at the bottom. You hold a pot of gold.
Rick in Fort Lauderdale is next on Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Rick, what's up, dude?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I think the Yankees need to clean house from the analytics department to Cashman to Boone, the entire department. Analytics is ruining the beautiful game of baseball that I grew up playing, that my late father, may he rest in peace, taught me when he used to say, I was never a power hitter, but he said, son, when you put the ball on the ground, more things could go wrong in order for one thing to go right.
Yeah, but I got news for you. Analytics, just that word is such a trigger word. That stuff has been around for 90, 100 years in one form or another.
Yeah, we used to get a binder that looked like a dictionary with, you know, formations, who's in the formation.
If the average fan ever saw an NFL playbook and what you have to learn, head would explode.
Yeah. Or a weekly game plan.
Yeah. Right?
And, like, understanding, like, okay, we used to know out of certain positions, certain formations, depending on who was in the formation, what was the percentage that was a run, a pass, what the plays were off of it, depending on who was there, who was lined up in the slot. Like, they've been around. I just think they've taken – somebody take it to the next level, and you still have to have a room for gut and being in the moment, because the analytics are one thing, but that doesn't guarantee that it's going to be correct in every decision that you make.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ben Simmons, a huge opportunity this offseason to get
a lot of work to do. Let's go, Ben.
Much better. Why didn't he take the opportunity? We'll tell you in moments, right after Bart tells you about our friends from Credit Karma.
Speaking of karma, there's going to be some bad karma coming to Ben Simmons if he doesn't improve. What the hell's going on, man? Hanging out with them Jenners, I tell you. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there is no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursement for debit purchases. And when you make those purchases between now and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and have a chance to start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Back after this with audio files and your calls. And tell us how to fix Ben Simmons.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Ben Simmons is going to turn into, if he's not already, the most polarizing player in the entire NBA, and it's his own fault. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, audio files. Let's do it. We're going to start with Brian Windhorst from when he was on the show last week and talking about Ben Simmons and something that he felt would be beneficial to Ben Simmons moving forward with his game. You'll see where we're going here in a second.
Ben Simmons has something that could drastically alter his outlook in the next few months, and that is that, as far as I know, he is scheduled to play for Team Australia in the Olympics in Tokyo. The Australians have a loaded team. They've never medaled, and there is huge expectations for this roster. I won't get into more details there. But when he's going to play with Team Australia, if he does do that, and if I could give him some advice, I would tell him if he's not injured, he should do that. The Australians have a very loaded backcourt. Patty Mills is their point guard, and when Patty Mills plays for the Australians, he reminds me of Steve Nash. He's like special when it comes to his national team. So Ben Simmons is not going to play point guard. He plays for the Australian national team, and I think that could be an amazing opportunity for him to rediscover and show what else he can do besides being a point guard. To play big in a high-stakes international tournament on the world stage could change his outlook and the way the Philly and other teams would see him.
Now, again, that is Brian Windhorst from last week.
Yeah.
When he was on the show. Ben Simmons is officially not playing in the Olympics.
Is he officially hurt?
No.
Is his pry hurt?
That's the question. And when you know that you're not going to play point guard and you know that they have a loaded backcourt and you decide, I'm out. Indulge me for a moment. Ben Simmons is afraid to look bad.
Yeah.
That's it. It happened day one when he got to Philadelphia. The jump shot and all that stuff, that was an issue from day one. Bart, 4 of the 5 years he has been in the league, he has been the guard in the league who has taken the fewest jump shots of anybody. 4 times. He took 10 jump shots, catch and shoot, this past year. 10. And I can't think of one of them.
The past year?
Yes. Not one can I think of. And Bart, you would magically see off-season videos pop up on his Instagram. That would be him in the gym shooting J's, hitting 4 or 5 in a row, and then all of a sudden you'd see another one like a week later. Look at me. I'm getting better. Bart, I swear to God, there is no question to me that all this is pride and not wanting to look bad. And if Ben Simmons shows up to play for Australia, and Patty Mills is playing before he is.
Patty Mills, the Steve Nash of the Australian team.
Think about that for a second. If you're Ben Simmons and you can't start a point guard on the Australian national team, how's that going to go over? He's scared.
But it's still.
That's it. He's scared.
And that's the thing, right? It was reports that, like, Dennis Rodman, who struggled, you know, for the early part of his career shooting free throws, would hit 100 in a row at practice. But it's something about being afraid to fail. That is the worst trait that any professional athlete can have, because life and sport is all about managing failure. And he seems like he doesn't want to fail in front of people, so he has doesn't have the willingness to take the shot. And if you're afraid to take the shot, you've already missed the shot, right? So, like, he needs to go see a sports psychologist. And I remember talking to
him. His pride won't let him do that.
I remember talking. It was reports that his high school coach was saying, listen, this is all in Ben's head. And that's the worst thing. You can fix a Markelle Fultz hitch.
Markelle Fultz, yeah.
You know, hitch in your shot, or a Sean Marion unnatural movement. You can't fix mental fear. Like, you can't fix that. That has to be fixed from within by yourself. No other shooting coach can do any of that. So you can shoot and show me all these videos you shooting J's in the gym until you got the kahunas to go shoot some J's in a real game and not care like Giannis. You can say whatever you want about Giannis. He still will put it up. Missed air ball, people counting that.
He doesn't care about looking bad.
My point.
Yep.
You cannot be afraid to fail in sports.
You want more Wendy? We got more Wendy.
More Wendy.
More Wendy.
It's nothing I love more than Wendy than double Wendy.
Well, you're getting double Wendy right now, because he had this on his podcast today in regards to Donovan Mitchell, Dwayne Wade, and the Utah Jazz.
I think Dwayne Wade is seriously concerned about Donovan Mitchell's desire to stay there long term. And I think the way, you know, there was a number of things that happened that led to this, primarily, and this is covered by the Salt Lake Tribune. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not giving them credit, but it was an open secret in the NBA that Quinn Snyder and Dennis Lindsay had a very poor relationship.
Bart,
now you can smile. Now you can smile. Now you can put him where you know you want to put him. Put him there. Believe in that one. Put him there.
He's from New York.
Put him there.
If Donovan Mitchell
I'm with you on this one.
It wants to end up in New York and wants out of Utah. I mean, look, he just signed the long-term deal, but that doesn't matter. Like, can after the playoff thing early, do you think that would bother somebody that much that they were extra careful to hold you out of a playoff game?
I don't think it's that. I think it's the fact that nobody wants to go to Utah.
Well, I agree.
And the fact that, you know, the relationships outside of the court is not good for black people to live in Utah. The fact that he watched the true feelings and true sentiment of the people speaking to Ja Morant's father is what bothers him. The fact that they put on a happy face for him, but their true feelings come out when African Americans come there to play is what I think is the issue and the problem that ultimately will let him say, you know what, I'm done here. Thank you. Get me out of here. And I wonder if that happens, does Dwayne Wade say, you know what, I'm wasting money here because they have no star, and say, I want to invest somewhere else. Atlanta's always accepting.
I tell you what.
Minority coins.
It is a bad situation for the Jazz if Donovan Mitchell wants
out. Stuck with Rudy Gobert that needs somebody to facilitate to him. They've given him the max dollars too, and he's not going anywhere. So if you have no Donovan Mitchell, what are you getting?
Lastly, there is Scottie Pippen, who we discussed yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show.
Scottie!
And here is his exchange with Dan regarding Phil Jackson and the whole issue with Tony Kukoc in Game 3 against the Knicks in 1994.
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember Phil Jackson left the Lakers, went, wrote a book on Kobe Bryant, and then came back and coached him? I mean, who would do that? You name someone in professional sports that would do that, you know? I think he tried to expose Kobe in a way that he shouldn't have. You're the head coach, and you're the guy that sits in the locker room and tells the players, this is a circle. And everything stays within the circle because that's what team is about. But you as the head coach, open it up. And now you go out and you try to belittle, at that time, probably one of the greatest players in the game.
Your reaction?
I don't know. See, now this is more words to it. This is some of the reasons why I feel that way. And then we did have Phil that kind of came here, was talking about LeBrick and his posse, which posse is a code word for like hoodlums, and I don't know. Now we got to open it up. Now because Scottie has opened Pandora's box, we got to take a closer look at Phil and some of the things that he said over the years. And maybe that's why he decided to take Neil Akina instead of taking Donovan Mitchell. I'm just playing. They're both black. But one's from France, so it doesn't count.
Maybe he did that because he doesn't know what he's doing as an executive. How about that?
But he did call LeBron's crew a posse, and that had outrage within our community. And did he ever apologize for that?
I don't remember. I don't remember if he did or he did. I don't get the impression that he did.
He called his crew a posse.
I could be wrong.
That has a racial undertone.
I could be wrong. I don't remember specifically.
He basically called him a bunch of hoodlums and his crew.
This is not going away anytime soon when the book does not come out until November.
Oh, we love controversy.
This is going to be going on for quite some time.
Sell that book, cuz!
Bart, up next, a major missed opportunity for Major League Baseball.
Major?
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Major.
Big time. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Got to give Shohei Ohtani a lot of credit, and not just for what he's doing this season. Earlier in the year, we talked about Ohtani not wanting to be one of those guys who's a face for the game, but he has started to come out and do that more. It's Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, the Bart and Han Show. And I am thrilled that he's going to be in the Home Run Derby.
Nah, I'm concerned. I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little. Man, I was going to cover for you, man.
That's no, I'm not going to sneeze all over you. I got the mute button. I'm like, I do that thing too often where you hold it in.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
You're going to bless a blood vessel.
Okay, let me tell you something. When I do that, though, if I don't hold it in, it's going to be like a party favor in your face. It's going
to
be bad.
Yeah, I'm going to go straight to HR. I'm going to need 5 days off.
There are times when I sneeze where it sounds like a tennis player returning serve. Like that. Anyway.
I hope Otani does. I don't know. I'm nervous about that, man.
I'm not. I think it's great, and I'm glad he's doing it. And Bart, the fact that he's doing it, Pete Alonso is going to be involved in it. Trevor Story now is going to be involved in a Home Run Derby. I understand what the concerns would be.
I want Vlad in there. I want skinny Vlad in there, not fat Vlad.
You want Vlad, and you want Tatis in there, and they can't convince them to do it. And
throw money at it. $1 million to the winner. What are you talking about?
Well, they're still, they are
they
throwing
can't get
some
Sprite
money
or Pepsi.
But it's not to that level. And look.
Put $1 million up. I guarantee you, you'll have your pick of the litter.
Look, there is money involved. But I would say that when you're one of those kind of players.
Yeah.
And you have the chance to even market yourself even more.
Yeah.
If you're Vlad Guerrero, you're playing in Toronto, dude. Like, you need to let people see you play because right now, the majority of baseball fans around the country, I shouldn't say the majority,
but the
mid-level baseball fan around the country has no idea of the season that Vlad Guerrero's having.
And
Tatis, all they hear about is Tatis, but people on the East Coast aren't staying up late to watch Tatis.
And what Vlad looks like, I believe he took out 30 pounds, so he's in tremendous shape. So now you talk about, man, does he have the conditioning to make sure that he can sustain this type of play? I say the answer is yes. I mean, I would have Vlad Guerrero in there, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, who's the next big young star? I don't know if it's – oh, I want the kid from Atlanta, the Braves, on there. Remember, because that was the show that they put on. It was – remember, he outlasted Vlad.
So you can win $1 million for winning the Home Run Derby.
Well, if that's not enough, I need $2 million. You make it because the eye is going to be on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know what you get each person for.
Who's the guy that beat it before? Who's the kid in Atlanta, the Braves? I always want to
Ronald Acuña Jr.
Yeah, Acuña. Remember, Acuña and Vlad put on a show. Like, they were going blow for blow. You know what I'm saying? And look, if you add in the Parrot Man, well, not Parrot Man, the Polar
Edwin
Bear.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Add the Polar Bear. Add the Polar Bear to it.
Pete Alonso's in it. Trevor Story's in it in Colorado. And think about that. That's the other thing. It's Colorado.
Yeah.
You could be hitting moonshots.
Yeah.
You could put on a massive show. You could really, really blow this up. And what bothers me even more about it is if baseball goes and tries to convince these guys to do it, right now, like, why would they do a darn thing for Major League Baseball and their owners?
But they're not pitchers.
Now, I know.
So they actually got what they wanted because they were looking foolish because they couldn't hit home runs, and baseball stepped in like, yo, man, this sticky stuff is too crazy. So you got
but
one side
of it.
But that's
not the only issue. The money is going to be the big issue this coming offseason.
Yeah, so you better collect the most money you can. You want this $1 million because next year that $1 million may not be there. You got guys out there like, cut me, Mick. Like, yo, no, man, it's just an exhibition. Cut me, Mick. I need $1 million. $1 million is probably more than what some of these guys are made.
Oh, absolutely.
They haven't went to arbitration.
Alonso's making $555,000.
Oh, yeah, double that. That's why I'm going to give me that. That's why he was like, yo, he's a smart guy. I holler. Nope. You holler, Chris. Send us out, right, Chris. Send us out, Creasy. Tune in Wednesday on Bart and Han when Chris is back again. Baby Buddha and Scott, we out.
I holler.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.